You're listening to Vatican Radio. Relations between the different Christian traditions take centre stage this week as churches around the world mark the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. The initiative, celebrated by churches in the Northern Hemisphere from January the 18th to the 25th, is focusing this year on a provocative question from St. Paul to the early Christian community in Corinth. Has Christ been divided? Here in Rome, the week of ecumenical activities, conferences and liturgies will conclude with the celebration of Vespers, with Pope Francis presiding in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls on Saturday, with members of the many Christian communities present in the city. Father Tony Currer heads the Desk for Anglican and Methodist Relations at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. I talked with him about his hopes for the Anglican-Catholic dialogue and about his experience of ecumenism before taking up his post here in the Vatican just a few months ago.
I'm Father Tony Currer. I'm from the northeast of England. I have been a priest for the Hexham Newcastle Diocese for 11 years and have worked mainly in university chaplaincy and in parishes before coming to Rome in September.
But your interest in ecumenism up at Durham, there's a lot of work going on there in ecumenism, yeah. Isn't there?
I was working as chaplain at the university as well as being a parish priest, and I was very blessed, really, very fortunate to arrive in Durham more or less at the same time that Professor Paul Murray arrived in Durham, and a number of very big ecumenical events happened. Cardinal Casper was given an honorary doctorate. There were two big conferences on receptive ecumenism there. And also, of course, you know, I was working with a number of chaplains to the university. I was also connecting with parochial clergy and cathedral clergy, mainly Anglican, but also Methodist and United Reform across Durham. So Durham was a very ecumenical context. We had lots of ecumenical circles in which we worked, churches together in our very local area, then broader in across the city of Durham and then in the university. So it was a good grounding.
You also had a bishop for a while by the name of Justin Welby.
Very briefly, that's true. I was at his installation in Durham and he preached a very powerful sermon, and his references in that sermon I remember being very interesting. He showed some of the influences that he drew on in his spirituality, and that comes from a what you might call quite an evangelical background in the Church of England, Holy Trinity Brompton, but also very Catholic roots to his own spirituality as well, and he has a debt to that, and that came out in even in that installation service at Durham Cathedral.
Archbishop Welby, now Archbishop of Canterbury, and Pope Francis both seem to be bringing a new impetus to ecumenism, to the relationship between their churches. How do you see this shaping up in 2014?
Well, it's clear that there is an extraordinary rapport between them, that they, just as Pope Benedict and Archbishop Rowan Williams had an awful lot of contact points, particularly both being academics, both being interested in similar theologians, similar areas. So Pope Francis and Archbishop Welby, the Archbishop, of course, his enthronement coming just 2 days after the inauguration mass of Pope Francis. And there are all sorts of connections immediately there. Both of them have a real kind of practical direction, looking towards the poor, looking towards the way our finance and economy and markets work, and who gets the raw deal out of all of that. And that is something that's really precious in the heart of both of these pastors, you know, that what are we doing about the plight of people who are getting the raw end of the deal in so many ways? And Archbishop Welby, you know, he's engaged the banks, he's engaged payday loan companies, he's engaged energy companies. He's not afraid to engage the world in a really practical way. And we know that Pope Francis isn't afraid to engage the world in a really powerful way too. So lots of points of connection, I think.
The two of them are due to meet again, aren't they, later this year? What can we expect to come out of that meeting, do you think? Or can you give us any idea of preparations in the works for that meeting?
It's difficult. There are a number of things going on in the background, but that first meeting last June was very, very successful. There was a clear connection and friendship, and the Pope has certain priorities, which are clearly priorities for Archbishop Justin as well, to do with social teaching, to do with human trafficking, and there's a lot of shared ground there. So whether in the future we can work together on that, there are some things happening about how we can share resources and how we can make a shared witness to some of these areas. It's interesting as well that the Pope has talked about an ecumenism of blood, and by which he means the witness of the martyrs across the traditions. And, you know, again, Catholics and Anglicans have died together in different parts of the world and witnessed for their faith in that way. And maybe that's...
And continue to do so in some countries.
Exactly. And, you know, we're conscious of conflicts in Africa at the moment and people suffering there and in the Middle East and in Syria particularly. And there is a shared concern for the plight of all people in those places, but particularly for the plight of the church and Christians in those places. And that's something for both leaders that is a very significant concern.
Alongside this practical aspect, if you like, the theological dialogue continues. You'll be taking up your position in the Archic 3 talks later this year. What hopes do you have? What can we look forward to perhaps coming out of that meeting?
Well, it's still early in the process. We've had three meetings of Archic 3. We wouldn't be looking to produce a document immediately. Archic has done an awful lot of good work over the years and produced a good number of documents. And we're at a stage now with the Archic process where we have to look at that process and think, well, what can we usefully do to add to that? Can we add something substantively as an addition to all of that corpus of documents that exists? I think what we can do and what Archic 3 is charged with doing is firstly fostering the reception of the documents of Archic 2 by the respective authorities of both churches, and that's part of our job and our task, but also to look at what the way forward is. Receptive ecumenism is offering some possibilities in that regard, and it's suggesting that perhaps we write a different-looking document, a different kind of document, but what a document would look like that's formed in this way of receptive ecumenism, that, you know, is something we have to think about and work on together, and that takes a bit of a mind shift in some ways. So it'll take some time, but the discussions are fruitful and people are working hard and that work continues, and it's quite exciting to be involved in it, yeah.
We're also marking this year the 50th anniversary of Unitatis Redintegratio. How significant a celebration will this be, and what kind of impetus can this give, do you think, to the dialogues here?
Yeah, we keep going back to that text because it was an enormously grace-filled moment in the Church's history. We've been celebrating 50 years of the Second Vatican Council. I think things which the Council has done, harvesting the fruits and other things, have been there to make us look back at the good work that's been done and to capture the energy of the dialogue and those spirit-filled moments. The meetings we're celebrating this year, the 50th anniversary of the meeting of Paul VI with the Patriarch of Constantinople, Athenagoras, and we're celebrating that with the meeting of Pope Francis and the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew. And that's a kind of powerful symbol of we need to capture the energy and keep that energy with us. So I think the point of the anniversary is really that we don't flag in our zeal and our work for what we're trying to do here.
My thanks there to Father Tony Currer, head of the Desk for Anglican and Methodist Relations at the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity.